So there's 36 million users on this service, which is an awful lot of people.
So the family is with their in-laws, their husband from England, the kids are over there.
So there's 36 million users on this service.
Lesbian, lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show where reality is the bitch. Through the looking glass of media and life we go, the Alice in Wonderland of all talk shows, and we tell you as much about you as we do about the events in the news that we're all enduring day in and day out. On the line with us is Justin McElroy. He is a high school student, a junior class president from L.A. Canyon High School in Southern California. He's in Washington, D.C. right now at the Sheraton near the Capitol building there, and is going to be talking with us here about the health care reform bill. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We also have a Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And each and every night, we also put up our show on video. You can watch live streaming video as it happens of our show at our website, philhenryshow.com. You can listen to the show in live streaming audio. Or if you choose, wherever you are listening to the show on any one of our great affiliates, you can download the show the next day. So if you say, well, I want to hear that show again, boom, go over to our website. You can download the show and listen to it at your leisure. Before we get to Justin McElroy and continue with our comments and his comments about the health care plan, which have been, his comments have been decidedly generational in nature, saying that the elderly or the old, or that would be anybody, I guess, who isn't part of what is referred to as the youth generation and the youth vote, have slowed this process down, have been an impediment, are slowing the process down for no good reason, and the only way it's going to get pushed through is by young people amassing and encouraging and protecting the senators who are in Washington right now to vote for it. Here is Fox News today. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama says he spoke with the CBO head and he confirmed the numbers in the bill are misleading.
This debate has been dominated by...
No, that's not it. Number three. Here we go. Sessions.
Well, I talked to him about what appeared to me to be double counting of the savings from cuts in Medicare. And he issued a formal statement this morning that basically says exactly that, that when you count this savings in Medicare as extending the life of Medicare, these cuts in Medicare as extending its life for 9 years, you can't then spend the money on a new program, this health care bill. So they're using the savings from Medicare to fund this new health care bill, which in essence creates a debt to Medicare and adds to the debt of the country. So the real score of this legislation is that it would cause the deficit to increase.
All right, Justin McElroy with us. You're in Washington. Justin, we've been talking about this bill. You've been saying it's something that is the province exclusively of young people because you say these old people just can't get it together any longer. Correct?
Well, I don't think they ever really could get it together because if you heard the president talking about how even Teddy Roosevelt was talking about health care reform, that's a long time. And that's a long, and Teddy Roosevelt, I should tell people who are, you know, opposed to health care reform, he was a Republican. So that shows you, you know, how weird, you know, they are and everything. So what we decided to do is take the matter into hand and say, okay, you know, you've had your fun and, you know, good luck and everything, but we're going to take over, and we will not allow our revolution of the health care bill to get sidetracked by a lot of counter-revolutionaries and reactionaries that are so old they can't even count. Like that guy from the Congressional Budget Office that guy was talking about, those guys can't even count. They don't even know how to add because they're wrong. And another thing, if they don't know how to add, and then how can we trust them to even know anything about it? And when we wrote that song for the Tea Party movement, called what we call it the Prune Party, it pretty much sums up, you know, how.
I've heard this song already, man. I mean, I've heard the song, okay?
No, but these are the Tea Party people when they first started out because they felt so good.
What a wonderful.
I don't want to hear the song anymore. Thank you very much. We've heard the song. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, and that's the other thing, Mr. Henry. You have endeavored to censor me because you do work for the corporate media, and you are part of the capitalist clique that's impeding the revolution, you know, of what we're trying to do. And
look at man, I'll listen to anything you have to say. I just don't want to hear that dude screeching in my ears anymore.
Okay, I mean that's fair enough, you know, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems like you've been licking everybody else's rear end.
Please, you know what? I don't like that kind of language, especially coming from a high school student, if you don't mind.
What?
This licking the rear end thing, okay?
What?
Who are you talking to?
What?
Who are you talking to?
Nobody. I'm just... Shut up, man.
Okay, if you got anybody in the room that's distracting you, then I would appreciate it very much if you tell them to shut up, okay? And I want that song off, bud, off. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Mark, listening to us in Indianapolis tonight. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Justin, just two questions. One, what age do you consider old?
Pretty much people who start talking about owning a business, yeah, that's when they start sounding old. You know,
okay,
oh,
but
I own
what,
a business,
what is
you know, and I don't want to, and I don't want to have to pay for my employees if they get sick, you know.
Okay, so at a 23-year-old who has his own business would be
who's
old
that?
To you?
Who's that?
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I think you're making that up.
Well, no, because I started my business at 23. I'm 49.
Oh, okay. So I got to go back into ancient history, man. I don't know. I'm just talking about today. You know,
okay,
how things
enough.
Are today.
All right.
You know,
let's talk
and the
about,
way things are today is I think you're old when you start saying, what do you mean I got to have insurance for my employees? That's going to cut into my profits. I think that's, you know, you're pretty much old.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You made the comment. We
Mr. Henry, why are you going to?
Because you sound.
You made,
okay. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
You made the comment, Justin. We need to clean up what these old people did.
Right.
Remember?
Exactly.
Okay. So. Are you saying then that Senator Robert Byrd, who's 92, he should be gone, or Harry Reid, who's 70, or Nancy Pelosi, who's 69, or Chris Dodd or Barney Frank, who are in their 60s? I mean, they're older than me, so because they want health care, they're smart?
Mostly the old ones, whether they're you named a bunch of Democrats, which is, you know, really cute, but fact is, you know, the old pruned up Republicans are the ones that are really causing the problem. The ones on the Democratic side, we just want them to sit down, you know, get a blast of oxygen, grab a wheatgrass drink or something, and we'll take over.
Okay, so you're
what about 17. The old? So the old? What about the older Republican senators?
Those people are like, you know, they prove that they don't care about us. They're old and they're going to croak in a week. So why do they care whether we have health care? That's why counter-revolutionary and reactionary, too, because of the capitalism clique.
So you feel the same way about the old Democrats then, correct?
Well, I think I already answered that question.
So the old Democrats are okay, the old Republicans are not.
I think I already answered your question. Like, last hour I talked about that. Where you been?
All right, Justin, no need to be rude to the gentleman, all
okay.
right?
Justin,
all right, sir, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Dennis. Dennis, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead.
Hey, first I just wanted to commend him and applaud him for at least being at 17 years old. You know, going out there and doing something for what he stands up for.
What?
So I was saying I wanted to commend him and applaud him. For at least at 17 years old, going up to Washington and standing up for what he believes in. The question that I have for him, though, is how many 17-year-olds, or even for that matter, 25-year-olds, are in Congress that are helping push this bill through?
What a wonderful...
Hey, Justin, you're going to be hung up on if I hear that one more time.
I think it's an appropriate song.
That man just asked you a question. You want to answer it?
I didn't hear it.
Could you restate your question, sir?
Yeah, so again, the first is a compliment to you. It is, I commend you for at least having enough gumption.
Oh, yeah, I heard that part.
Okay. The second part is a matter of experience. How many 17-year-olds, or for that matter, even up to 25-year-olds, are in Congress that help push this bill through?
What? I mean, we voted for, what are you talking about? I mean, Obama wouldn't even be president if it wasn't for the youth vote, you know, so that's, I mean, that's kind of a weird question. I mean, he wouldn't even be president if they hadn't marshaled the youth vote, and we've supported him even though I can't vote, but in a year I will be able to vote. And right now, it looks like the people that put Obama in, they don't have enough muscle to push it through, so that's why we're going to be, you know, we're going to be representing tomorrow on the steps of the Capitol. And everything.
Right. You answer the question. It comes back to a matter of experience. You know, the health bill has been being pushed through or
You asked me how many young people, and I said it wouldn't even be in a bill if Obama didn't get elected. That was young people that voted him, that voted on him.
Yeah, but it's the old people that we're talking about pushing out, right? And getting them out of the way so that this bill can get pushed through, correct?
All right, you know what? We're up against the break. Sorry, I gotta take a break. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. Justin, just as a matter of comment, don't play that song anymore. You're gonna get hung up on.
Can I just say one thing, Mr. Henry? Before you go, whatever you're gonna do.
Yeah.
Can you get some people on your show who are smarter or something? Because it's
what are you talking about? In terms of the callers are gonna ask the questions that they're gonna ask.
Yeah, but they're really slow and boring. So,
well, you know, maybe they think the same thing of you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Justin McElroy at Healthcare on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'd rather hear that phone call.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't think I have stolen an entire generation of people. You know, the point that I was trying to make.
No, we're on the air right now. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Justin McElroy here from, he's from Southern California. He's in Washington, D.C. right now. You're insulting an entire group of people that want to engage you on health care. And when you say, oh, can you get better callers?
Well, Mr. Henry, I've been on your program enduring older people or old people, what do you want to call them? And they're all like stupid and
that's what I mean. Okay, when you say stupid, that's insulting.
I understand that, but if they would just say, if they would just come out and admit that they're not smart enough to really know to have an opinion, and they just hate me because I'm young and I'm smart, I would respect them more.
You think that's it?
Yeah, they hate me because I'm young and I'm smarter than them.
You really do. You've got quite the ego, don't you?
Well, I mean, you have to have an ego if you got it. You know, if you got it, you got to flaunt it. You know, I mean, you snooze, you lose. You snooze, you lose. You know, when you snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I understand. When you snooze, you lose. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hey, I just had a question, for Justin. Is it?
What?
Well,
what?
Why is he so against having other people, like other age groups, help him in this same fight?
Well, they ruined it. They ruined it because the minute the old people opened their mouths about health care, they were against it. And they're all, oh, yeah.
Not
you know,
everybody.
That's too much.
Like you said it yourself.
Most of them was.
Yeah, but you said it yourself that not all of them were, and that even the ones that were with you in the fight, you didn't want helping you. Why don't you want them helping you?
What?
Hey, you got to listen to the caller.
Okay. My friend wants to know how old you are.
All right. Justin, we're talking about health care.
I know. How old are you anyway?
I'm 19.
All right, I'm going to hang up on you, kid.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so what was your question?
Are you not listening to people now? Is that it? Because you were saying that these other people were just boring. Now you're getting boring.
Well, she's saying that we should have old people help us. They're just going
to... No, I'm saying that you should be open to other people helping.
Okay. Can you, we don't need any help from old people. We need only for them to step aside, diaper up, and sit down. And because every time they say something, there's
okay, but you say you don't need help from old people, but do you understand that Congress is nothing but elderly people?
Well, those old people are the ones we want, the ones that support it. But the other ones, no. And really, listen to this song. This is what
I understand the song, and I'm not here to. Okay. I'm not listening to you just to hear you talk BS all the time.
This is not BS.
What a wonderful.
That's what the Tea Party sounds like. That's what they want you to be. Do you want to be that?
Jordan.
You want to be that? No.
I agree with you that they need the free form of the health care bill. I'm not trying to debate on that. I'm just trying to debate on why you think that, how it's going to be done.
Well, I feel that the old people, because of the lack of lubrication in their brain, not what Mr. Henry was saying, they don't understand the concept of it. They think it's all communism and everything. And we're saying that, yeah, it is. I mean, they are counter-revolutionary, and we do believe in the revolution, and we feel that they are reactionary. You know?
All right, if it's not communism, why are you using counter-revolutionary, reactionary, liberal, or capitalist clique?
Well, we're only using those terms to describe the bourgeois class that has been opposed to workers like this lady, Stephanie, and myself, and who want to keep us, you know, down, and they don't even want to give us health care. They'd rather that the young people die because they're old enough and they can afford health insurance, and we can't, so we'll die. And I'm saying that that's why it's a generational war, because we'll be the ones that die without the health care.
And yet there are so many people that say older people are at risk.
No, old people aren't at risk. They can afford it. Old people can afford it. They're hanging on to their money. All they got to do is go out in their backyard and dig up a can of nickels. But we don't have the money because we're young and free.
Well,
all right, Stephanie, you there?
Well, do you not realize that right now the average American at the age of between 25 and 35 are the people that are most using the health care that is in effect today?
Is that your boyfriend that's giving you the questions to ask?
What?
Is that your boyfriend that's giving you the questions to ask?
Actually, my husband does not even know what I'm talking about, so leave him out of it.
What?
Just never mind. Leave him out of it.
And he's all like, you know, hey, that's cool. You're talking on a talk show. Let me just keep pumping nickels into this pinball machine. I mean, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. We got a whole generation of people that are pumping nickels into you know, Warcraft or whatever, and I'm trying to, you know, get something done here. And it's not going to get done as long as we have young people like yourself who want to defer to somebody whose brain lube has turned into dust. So the idea that we're, you know...
Turn the freaking music off, man! Stephanie, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Got time maybe for another call here, and we'll get over to Michael. Michael, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir, with Justin McElroy.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. I didn't really have anything to say directly to Justin. I just wanted to call. I'm 22 years old, also a young guy. Actually, I live in Washington, D.C. And I just wanted to say, first of all, that you know, it is slightly insulting to be, I guess, the younger generation.
What is that noise I'm hearing?
Sound like a train or something.
I just heard a noise. Go on, sir.
Sorry. It is slightly insulting as a young person to be represented in this moment by someone who is being very dismissive of the older generation. I know that there are a lot of young people out there like me who are very respectful.
They're the ones
that
messed it up. They messed it up. You know,
I just wanted to say something. I wasn't directly speaking to you. I apologize.
Right. I'll let Michael speak.
I'm not here.
Yeah, like you're not there. Right, exactly. Go ahead, Michael.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, there are a lot of us that do respect what the older generation has done and the things they've done. And we realize that they've made mistakes like every generation will. But, for instance, I'm probably much more liberal than the majority of the listeners of the show.
Mushroom.
But I do actually research what I talk about, and I do have respect for the older generation. And I guess what bothers me is that I also have to say something to Mr. Henry is that why are we giving someone like him who is someone who isn't actually paying any attention?
Well, the hot spicy wings too, and the buffalo wings too.
Apparently, I'm thinking about one.
Phil Henry
and a Pepsi.
Getting ready or something?
What?
Aren't you going to be in the Christmas Carol too?
Yeah, I'm playing Ebenezer Dickman.
Well, then quit bugging me about why I see movies. Welcome back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. What's your problem?
Why do you like to watch movies again?
Because I like to watch movies again, man. Because you listen to a song again, don't you?
Yeah, but it only takes a minute or so.
I don't give a crap. I like what? Get out of here.
Yeah, man, we're going to be on a Christmas Carol.
Coming up at midnight, we have a Phil Henry Christmas Carol for you here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins are calling it quits. This is big news, only because they're a couple of they're very popular movie stars. You know, their politics aside, they've been in some terrific films. I was just thinking, we were talking here with Rance and Ralph about the movies that Robbins has been in. I always liked that Player, and, you know, everybody likes Shawshank Redemption, and Bull Durham, and what was that other flick we were talking about, Jace? I think we were War of the Worlds. He hated that. I like War of the Worlds, but you're right. The part with Tim Robbins kind of sucked. But nonetheless, it's a good body of work. Anyway, he and Susan Sarandon, who met on the set of the film Bull Durham, I guess they're breaking up, and few Hollywood relationships are able to stand the test of time. Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon's was seemingly one of them. However, People magazine is reporting the couple, who've been together for more than two decades, are calling it quits. Now, she was older than him by about
50 years.
But no, she wasn't. She was, I don't know. But anyway, actress Susan Sarandon and her partner of 23 years, actor Tim Robbins, have announced they have separated over the summer. According to her representative, no further comment will be made. They have two sons together, Jack, who's 20, Miles, who's 17. They met on the set of Bull Durham. Despite their 12-year age difference, so that would mean he's 58, and I'm kidding. Anyway, the couple remained solid for years. They raised their children together, including actress Eva Amura, Sarandon's daughter from a previous relationship. Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon are known for their strong political beliefs, of course. In this clip from the January 2007 demonstration, a crowd chants impeach Bush as Robbins gives a speech against the Iraq War.
Impeach Bush! Impeach Bush!
And then I guess he didn't show up because, no, here it is.
There's two different.
Let's get him out of office before he starts ruling from a bunker. Let's get him out of office before the only one on his side is his dog Barney. Nixon, Richard Nixon. Talk to the walls. Bush is talking to God. But it's not a God I recognize.
So that's one of the reasons why Tim Robbins fell into that sort of area, you know, of clown. A lot of people would make fun of him behind his back because, like a lot of movie actors, well, like a lot of people, I guess, who think they know something and they don't, he started to sound a little stupid. In an interview with Al Jazeera Television, here's Susan Sarandon. She's reflecting on how brave she was to question the Bush administration's decision to go to war. So she's talking about how brave she was.
No, I asked questions, and you weren't supposed to ask questions because you're either for us or against us at that time. So it turned into a protest anytime you asked a question. But I wanted some accountability, and I certainly had access to Scott Ritter, to weapons inspectors, to people, the ambassador from Iraq, people who were saying that they had real misgivings, and no one was listening. No one wanted to hear them at that time. And there were a few of us who said, what is going on? What is the plan? Why are we rushing? Isn't this worth some discussion? This is a war. Isn't this a big thing? Why are we going off just giving him carte blanche? Why don't we, you know, stop? Let's discuss this. What's the hurry?
So anyway, that's Susan Sarandon and Tim. Maybe they get tired of listening to each other because that's all they talked about, you know?
Yeah, they probably were bored and stuff.
But Tim Robb is a great actress. Tim Robb is a great actor. And
you said actress.
I know I misspoke. He's a great actor. She's a great actress. But again, during the Iraq War, when the two of them opened their yaps, it was so dull. So where do you begin with a couple of people like that? Nonetheless, they're calling it quits. And so whatever. It's a big story, sort of. Balloon Boy's parents are sent to jail for the hoax that they perpetrated. The parents who pulled the Balloon Boy hoax in hopes of landing a reality television show were sentenced to jail on Wednesday, 90 days for him, 20 days for her, and barred from profiting from their newfound celebrity status for the next 4 years. Richard Heaney apologized in court while choking back tears for the frenzy he caused when he claimed his 6-year-old son Falcon had floated away in a giant helium balloon shaped like a flying saucer. I said that once, and they put me in a hospital. This guy says that he goes to jail.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Anyway, I'm very, very sorry. I want to apologize to all the rescue workers. Well, anyway, we have actually this gentleman speaking, and it was a jackass thing. I don't know what this guy thinks we're doing with our time, right? We got better things to do than fool around with some clown like this. So anyway, District Judge Stephen Schepansky orders that Richard Heaney will not be able to make a profit off of his hoax. Now, the judge's microphone is clipping out a little bit in here, so you will hear the essence.
The court is going to sentence the defendant to probation for a period of 4 years. This will be supervised probation. The terms and conditions will be that Mr. Heaney is, in fact, prohibited from receiving any form of financial benefit from whether it be media, a book, an article he writes, anything of that kind.
You get the idea. Here's the jail.
As far as the jail sentence, the court is going to order 90 days in jail for Mr. Heaney. However, 30 days of that will be straight time, meaning serving it in the jail. The remaining 60 days can be served on work release. And simply put, that means he can go to work during the day. He is at jail at night.
You're killing me, man. So anyway, that's the situation there with Richard Heaney, who wanted to be famous. And that's where they ought to throw more of these cats in jail if they're interdicting, as they say, or otherwise preempting or assuming the services of the police and the fire agencies. They all should be put in jail and tortured, in my opinion. But that's
really?
No, not really, but why not, you know?
Because I'd be in favor of that.
Yeah, I would too. You torture, you waterboard a man like that, you're never going to do that again.
They're not going to waterboard anybody, man, but they'll put his ass in jail, and that's the end of that, okay? And finally, Tiger Holt's column, Alfredson says cheating is no secret. Tiger Woods' cheating was no secret to other golfers, according to Swegia, what did I just say?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's supposed to be LPGA. Why'd you write Swegia?
That's what, if it's in Sweden.
Oh, get out of here. It's the Swedish LPGA. The Swedish LPGA star Helen Alfredson said Wednesday while Golf Digest announced it was putting the 14-time major winner's advice column on ice. Alfredson became the first professional golfer to say she'd heard stories about Woods cheating on his Swedish wife, Ellen, or Elaine, according to the New York Daily News, citing her interview with Swedish television. I heard it last summer during the British Open. In fact, I slept with him, she said. Oh, I'm only kidding, she further said. In the quietest water swims the ugliest fish, Alfredson said, and then said, that's an old Swedish saying, never mind, and walked away, tossing a tee up into the air and catching it. Woods, a week shy of his 34th birthday, has definitely halted his golf career to cope with personal issues in the wake of a media storm that has seen at least 14 women claim affairs with him. According to Alfredson, if he just paid for the escorts, I understand it a bit more. Then no one would need to know. But now he did everything and a girlfriend and, you know, all of this stuff. And Alfredson, anyway, so they get the story there. This is some Swede who's weighing in on Tiger Woods. He had a column, an advice column he was going to do on how to golf or how to hit a golf ball, how to hit a golf ball gooder. And apparently that was a no-go. Our number 877-876-PHIL coming up. We got the Phil Hendry Christmas Carol on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
About a year ago here on the Phil Henry Show, we interviewed a woman by the name of Annie Laurie Gaylor, and she got so angry at me, she hung up on me. She's with a group called Freedom from Religious Foundation. Now, every year, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, they crawl out of their hole in Wisconsin, and they go into the countryside, and they tell everybody they're atheists, and they're being put upon because they're looking at all kinds of religious symbols. A lot of people think because you support religious symbols, you must be a religious guy. I look at it from the standpoint of culture, tradition, history, and what communities want for themselves. Some jackass blowing in from out of town, it's not like the Freedom Riders, you know, when they went to Mississippi and registered people to vote, something that is so utterly vital to the civil liberties of Americans, as opposed to a community saying, well, I know we have atheists, and I know that we have, you know, people who believe in religion, and I know we got all kinds of things, and we have a square, I'm going to put all the symbols there, or not, as the case may be. But atheists are not black people in the South. In fact, they are not even sure they're atheists. I have the personal opinion there's no such thing as an atheist because it goes against the genetic coding of Americans, of human beings, that goes back tens of thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. The genetic coding in our brains, the archetype is supernatural, higher powers, big gods. Now, for a human being to overcome that, it's like saying, I've decided to change the color of my eyes. So when someone says to me they're an atheist, I don't believe them. It depends on the mood that I'm in, whether I will engage them in a conversation or not and make them look stupid. But most of the time I keep my mouth shut. Oh, you're an atheist. That's great. Because I don't really care one way or the other what they think they are. I personally don't believe there's such a thing. It's when they start talking about their atheism in conjunction with the holiday season that you can't remain silent. Now, this woman, Annie Laurie Gaylor, who you're going to hear in some of this audio, is talking about the winter solstice. Now, this is a very uneducated person, because the winter solstice would not even be noticed by human beings if it wasn't for the pagan people in pre-Christian times celebrating it. And the pagan people had plenty of gods. They had all kinds of gods. They had earth gods, star gods, sun gods, moon gods. They had shoe gods, pants gods, underwear gods. They had all kinds of gods, man. They had human sacrifice. They had the lady of the lake, the god of the lake, the god of the, you know, more gods than you've ever heard of in your life, man. More gods than God could have made. These are not atheists. They're anti-Christian is what they are. They're anti-Christian and Jewish. They're not atheists. They're anti-Christians. And they may have good reason to be anti-Christian. I don't know. I don't have a particularly bad time with the religion. I don't like some of the people, and I don't like the politics that swirls around religion. But the spirituality of an individual is their business. Do what you want, okay? And there are certain symbols. Symbols are very powerful, and we know that they're powerful because atheists recoil from religious symbols almost like a vampire from a crucifix. They're like, there's a star! You know, they don't want that thing there, man, because what they're trying to do is not so much assert their atheism as they're trying to rid themselves of the memory, the genetic memory, the racial memory of the human race, that they indeed do believe in the supernatural. They believe in large, mystic things out there. It's impossible for human beings to be atheists. Right now, impossible. However, do what you want, say what you want, not a problem. But don't start talking to me about how you don't dig the star in the thing or the cross over here and everything else. And then in the next breath, start talking to me about pagan celebrations having to do with the winter solstice. Now, this woman, this Annie Laurie Gaylor, we got a couple of pieces of audio from her. And she's talking to Laura Ingram. And Laura's a nice lady, but Laura didn't handle the interview very well, because she takes this woman at her word that she's an atheist. And that's the first mistake you make with an atheist is believing them when they say they're an atheist. When you do that, you've lost your way. It's not an argument you want to win. You just want to get the truth out of them, right? She's bringing up the winter solstice. So anyway, what happened in San Francisco, though, was a warehouse worker by the name of Irv Sutley saw an offending ornament in a government building in Sonoma County, north of San Francisco. He saw an angel, he saw a star, and he went into the office and he said, how dare you? He is a veteran, And according to the New York Times, I'm quoting them, he fought to keep religion out of public meetings and buildings, end of quote. Now, they may be quoting him, or they may be inserting that factoid as the result of their interview with him, and I'm sure that that's true. And there are those who fought for, you know, freedom of religion and so on and so forth. Anyway, according to Mr. Sutley, for most people, a star atop a tree this time of season represents the Star of Bethlehem, which is a cult symbol, the cult being Christianity. So he's offended by that, and he wants to take it down. That's cool, if that's what you want to do. But don't tell me you're an atheist. You're anti-Christian. And that's a whole other discussion. I'm a Catholic sometimes, but I see people's reasoning when they say they don't like religion. I understand it. But I don't ever buy it when an atheist tells me, hi, I'm an atheist. Yeah, okay. Here is Lori Gaylor, co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. She was on Fox News this week with Laura Ingraham to defend her group's anti-God-themed billboards erected across the country, which is fine. Then she starts yakking about the winter solstice.
There isn't a God, and there are many Americans, 30 million Americans, who do not believe in a God. And we're here in December, too. And Heathen's Greetings is one of our other billboards, and Reason's Greetings, and I think it's fun. And I think
Reason's
it's also
Greetings?
Reason's Greetings, that reason is always in season, and the real reason for the season is the winter solstice, and people in the Northern Hemisphere celebrated this time of year for millennia with evergreens and festivals and gift exchanges, because they're recognizing the real new year, a natural holiday, the beginning of the new year.
The reason why they celebrated the winter solstice, it was a celebration of fertility and a celebration of the bounty and a thankfulness, and it was about gods. It was about a pantheon of gods. They were pagan people, yes, and when we say the words pagan, we think uncivilized. No, it was civilization as we knew it then. But it was a spiritual thing. I can't believe that somebody who calls himself an atheist would leave themselves wide open for that one. Like, and you know what? I got nothing against pagans, man. I mean, Wicca is making a comeback, man. It's big time. You know, I know a lot of people are into it, mostly women, because it's, I don't know, you know.
No guy's going to do that.
Why not?
Well, yeah, right. The guy witches?
Ain't they got warlocks?
Warlocks? Man, are you kidding me? Yeah, but I don't think a guy would want to be in it.
They got guys in it. It's mostly kind of a chick thing. And I suspect in some sectors, the Wiccan religion is a neo-political statement. Maybe it is an anti-men. I don't see it that way. But I mean, I know these people that are Wiccan, and they dig the whole, you know, they do spells, man. They do chants. They it's all jacked up, man.
Are you kidding me? They're like, I can't do that.
No, I'm trying to put a spell, like turn a man into an apple or something.
Yeah.
What do you mean turn a man into an apple? They don't do that kind of crap. They do, like, love stuff, you know what I mean?
Like sex?
Yeah, they do sex stuff and love stuff and, you know, earthy, or whatever the hell. And they got Mother Earth, Father Earth, Uncle Earth, they got little baby Earth, they got the whole Earth family, man. And that's like a God thing, see? And then I think they've got another deal going on now. Well, you know how people are, and they're into Buddhism, Jain, Hinduism. Atheism, in my opinion, that's like another religion. That's another expression of paganism, but they just don't want to call it that because they've got too much invested in it now. I mean, they've got far too much invested into calling themselves atheists to cop to the fact that they're just sort of anti-Western traditional religion, and what they're really into is maybe some neo-pagan thing. Because when she's rapping about making cookies for the winter solstice, are you high? I tell you what. Why don't you make yourself a little psilocybin tea there, Annie Laurie Gaylor? I guarantee you'll be not even, you may not believe in God, but you'll believe in some sort of invisible beings. Here is Gaylor warning of raising children to believe in a religion.
If I'm as a Catholic,
well, you are indoctrinating
my children
them.
Catholic, so that's I'm indoctrinating.
I think children.
I
think children should be allowed to grow up and make these decisions for themselves.
Uh-huh.
They grow up in great fear, for example, of hell. And I think that is.
Yeah, you should be afraid of hell.
Abuse.
Hell's not a fun place. Yeah.
Well,
of course they should be afraid of hell.
There is no
yeah.
hell. I mean, I think that this is a primitive notion, and it's very harmful
primitive.
To small children to have ideas that are that fearful inculcated in them by their parents and their churches.
She's not a really good representative of what she's trying to say, because she's saying it's a primitive belief. Well, that means pre-Christian. I mean, seriously, because, well, even if it was Christian, if it was primitive as an early Christian, then you're talking about a Christian religion that was born of the pagan people and sort of moved past the multi-gods that the Romans had and the Greeks and all that jazz, you know. And she said, well, there is no hell, you know. So what happened when she was on the show, she hung up on me because I made too much sense and they've never wanted to come back. And that's fine. It's okay. Then when they did, we did have them back. They brought on the older woman who was better at media. And she started rapping. I said, what about Native Americans? Do you have a problem with them?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, they have spirituality and they have gods. And
well, I bet, you know, I say, you know, get out of here.
Okay. All right. 877-876-PHIL coming up. The Phil Hendry Christmas Carol with Bud Dickman as Ebenezer Dickman.
Yeah.
Next, here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. A pagan Christmas Carol.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information.